This episode was made possible by my generous supporters on Patreon. Welcome to my new patron this week, Grail9.
Thanks, Jenner. Did you really have to scream? That hurt my ears.
Grail, what are you doing here?
I broke in.
You broke into my recording studio, which I definitely have.
Yeah, it wasn't too hard. You left the door wide open. And by wide open, I mean I busted it down with a hammer, after which it was wide open.
Okay, I didn't expect to have a guest this episode, but I suppose I do now. We might as well just do the episode and introduce our series. So, welcome, 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 D-Roll, to Manga Mosaic, the mini-podcast edition where we take a look at Jumpstart and One-Shots old and new. I'm Wensley Dale Cheddar.
And I'm Grail9.
And today we're discussing Tokusatsu Jumpstart, Zipman by Yusuke Shibata.
Zip up!
Yeah, that's right. They definitely do those things. It's translated by Junko Goda and lettered by Evan Waldinger. Just to give some background, Shibata was working as an assistant on One Piece and My Hero Academia, and his previous manga was Yoake Mono, a two-volume series. So the story of Zipman is the story of Tetsu from My Hero Academia, who wants to become a tokusatsu actor because his brother died, and he wants to make the childhood friend smile. His brother comes back to life as a battle suit, and together they become a hero, fighting for peace, justice, and the Japanese way. I should perhaps say that we're going to be reviewing the series with a caveat that I don't really have much experience with tokusatsu media.
You don't leave that to me. Yeah, I have plenty of experience. See, I watched all of History of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That's clearly right.
Yeah.
That means I'm qualified.
That's basically what I did as well. Mine is limited to this extent and to listening to the few episodes of the Super Sentai podcast. And yeah, of course, I watched a bit of Power Rangers as a kid.
So you got more experience with that whole having listened to the podcast. I did see a little bit of Power Rangers. I think I saw a good bit of Dino Thunder, but Power Rangers, I guess, just passed me by. It was never on when I was watching.
Yeah, did they ever localize much in your country? Because I think we just got some Mighty Morphin and maybe a bit of Turbo.
I can't remember the first series, but Dino Thunder did get subtitles at least. And they're still airing something on TV with subtitles, I think.
Okay.
I haven't watched it, so wouldn't know. It goes off on Saturdays at time where I am not up and out among adults. Like, who the hell wakes up at 8 a.m. when they're an adult?
Yeah, geez. With this caveat, I do have mixed thoughts on this series. I might not be very well versed with this kind of medium, but I appreciated the unique setting for at least when compared to the current Jump lineup. I like that it delved so decisively into tokusatsu tropes, although to a certain extent, I did not care so much for others, which I will get into later. I found the characterization a bit lacking, and the personalities not removed enough from certain shonen archetypes to keep me invested. I found the story structure wonky in places, with minimal setup being sacrificed for an extended act two. Mostly, the saving grace was the art style, which is very Horikoshi-like. It does have its unique charm. I think you mentioned that you didn't like backgrounds that much.
I just think that often they were either missing or pretty bland, unless the shot was focusing on something in the background.
I see.
It's not any big issue, just something that I started to notice when rereading the series.
Okay, so what are your basically general thoughts on Zipman? Spoiler-free so far.
I think it's pretty easy to sum up. That sure was a battle shonen. Alright, thank you everyone. I'm glad you all enjoyed my thoughts.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like, if we go into a bit deeper into that, I'd say its greatest crime is that it's a decent battle shonen, like, it's got likable heroes, I guess, some villains that you could hate. They were kind of weak, actually. And action's decent with having some thought at times. But just that, decent does not do in today's shonen. You have to have something that separates you to your own advantage. That or just feeding all the tropes that make make people read you like Black Clover or Fairy Tail do.
Right, so I guess getting somewhat into the main characters, I did say that I found them pretty mixed, and Kaname, the main character, the one I call Tetsu because he looks eerily similar to him, is, well, basically a standard shonen protag, saved by the perhaps somewhat unique quirk of being intimidating and, like, scaring the general public away. But that gag gets old pretty quickly, and I wasn't particularly entertained by it. Right, just to go into spoilers, so spoiler territory onwards. I did like his character arc of learning trusting others over martyrdom, self-sacrifice, but it's set up and resolved in a flash, mostly by the fact that it's been cut under 17 chapters, I think?
Yeah, 17 was the last chapter.
Right. So, Koshiro, I found even less interesting, if you can believe it.
I can.
The dynamic could pique my curiosity if given more time to develop, but as it is, it only gets more engaging when Koshiro becomes mind-controlled, at the end of which he gets an arc parallel to Kaname? Tetsu. Okay, let's call him Tetsu.
Sorry, I already forgot his name because neither of these guys left much of an impression.
Right. An arc parallel to Tetsu. It feels like it's in the right place. Like Tetsu is giving him the same kind of lesson of not putting everything upon yourself, but it is kind of unprompted at the same time as he just got mind-controlled. And as we'll see later, a lot of moments feel like that in Zip Man. So, and as for Chaina, she is a main supporting character, but I kind of consider her barely a character. She feels more like a goal as a platonic love interest the brothers work towards. I guess she does have a personality, but for how everyone wants to make her smile, she herself doesn't have much to say about it. I think there's one panel, Koshiro isn't mind-controlled anymore, he gets rescued, and they all stand happy together, but only the two brothers are talking about her smile. She's just left out of the conversation, and then she can't participate in the fight against the big bad. She's supposedly strong, but needs to be rescued every arc, even when she gets her own suit. She beats up a couple of mooks, and then she needs to withdraw from the fight against the main villain, the chairman, because... yeah. What are your thoughts on the characters, Grail?
Well, for Chaina, I think this could have been something more interesting if she got her own suit in time, but because the series cancelled, we never know, which... I think it's most on point, just points we'll end with, but because the series was cancelled, we'll never know. As for the characters, there barely were any. Like, Chaina might have been interesting, but we'll never know. The chairwoman, the one woman that was in the same organization as the smart guy, I think Koshiro, no, wait, was that main guy? Like I said, I cannot remember these guys' names. Either way, she was the, like, generic anime boss for subtype 4 category A, the woman whose dress is pretty sexily and is in charge of shit with a lot of confidence. Like we say, there's barely anything in the side cast.
I remembered, I read this series like 3 or 4 times, I don't remember it.
I remember her, but I'm not even sure she got a name because, there was some guy named Henmi, yeah, who was also working with them.
Oh,
and that's most I'm gonna say about him.
Oh, it's the one who was kind of sucking up to Koshiro and wanted to be praised by him, and I think he wore a face mask, which is wow, topical.
Oh yeah, I think he had that wanted to be praised by him gimmick. Like it did not go into side cast. And well, I'll talk this point later because we're in the characters now.
Yeah, it was barely noticeable.
Just, I will point out one thing. I did actually like the relationship the two brothers had, because they felt like brothers. They bicker, they're always at each other's throats, but under all that, they care about each other, like most brothers do. Especially since they're twins and very close in age, so they would not have any kind of I'm the superior brother as the older one mentality. So that was one good thing I will say about this series.
I guess the dynamic was okay to me. It didn't particularly stand out because it was so... It only felt it had any deeper level in the second part of the series. At first, while there were several moments I could point out that, oh yeah, that's how real siblings behave. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I didn't particularly care for the nickname Devil Gorilla. How is that supposed to be even insulting? How is that... Who would say that?
Well, I mean, Senku calls Gohaku Gorilla Girl in Dr. Stone. I guess it's because he's the dumb muscle gorilla and his face, because everyone's scared of him, is the devil, so Devil Gorilla.
Yes, I suppose. It's just the combination of the two feels unnatural, too long as an insult.
Yeah, it isn't quite snappy enough.
Yeah, it doesn't have the punch, does it? I've said that I don't appreciate all the tokusatsu tropes featured, and the framing of villains is one of them. The framing and the motivations, that is. You said you were quite interested in maybe developing the ideology of the villains.
Well, let's all say it together. But we'll never know, because the series got cut short.
I didn't think there was anything to explore, but because I didn't think it raised any interesting ideas at all. The chairman, which... I did like the nickname. I will give the series that. Zipman Chairman, I did like that wordplay. He had no motivation behind his vague plan, resulting in a toothless fight with no stakes at the end.
Let's just put it this way. Chairman is not a character. He's a plot point. He does not have any personality, any appearance, because he's always in that stupid suit of his. And we don't even know what his plan is. He's a plot point, something generic that, like, marks the, okay, once this guy goes away, everything is okay again.
Yeah, I did like this, his design, though, but particularly the transformation at the end. Maybe with a different writer, it would have worked better, but as it is... Okay, so the main theme of the villains, because, yes, there is a theme, even if it's a bit... even if I don't like how it was framed, and I don't like the theme in general. So the villains are troublemakers who want to let loose their dreams and disrupt the peace Zipman protects in the process. And also, all of them see themselves as heroes, they are seen in turn as rebels without a cause. So, one of the first is Cutie Charm, who is either a transcoded character, someone questioning their identity, or just a guy with feminine gender expression, or just a guy who likes to cross-dress that character. And I find it a little clumsy how they are framed as a dangerous terrorist and a rebel without a cause, seeking revolution, being put down by essentially a cop for being a threat to the status quo. Because, not saying it's intentional, I almost never am with these kind of hot takes of mine, but even if not, it's not a framing that's particularly to my liking, considering that it's very similar to the common moderate response whenever there's a fight for civil rights. It's a kind of argument for civility. You want to fight for the right to live as whoever you want to be. Well, you're not doing so politely enough. You clearly must be just as dangerous as the sides who hate you. And in this case, yeah, they are dangerous, threatening Chiina for no bloody reason, because Shibata can ride them however want them to be framed. And, God, why do they attack Chiina again? This is so daft! What does it have to do with the dream? What does it have to do with... And a lot of these villains just attack things for no bloody reason whatsoever. And even the aesthetic is inconsistent with the methodology. So there's the gamer guy who we kind of talked about. He wants to be the hero of the story. So obviously, he kidnaps Chiina as the princess and sets up an evil castle with henchmen and turns people into monsters. Well, my expectations have been subverted, except not. It's the same bloody shit you were subverting in the first place. There's nothing original in it.
Yeah, what I'll say is that's what I thought could be interesting, that they're the misfits who want to be free from the societal expectations, except they don't really do any of that. They just go, I want to be free, therefore I'll just murder everyone around me for no real reason. Yay, freedom!
Yeah, I think I think Cutie Chamja just says, oh yes, we will use our greed in order to... Oh, why would you say that? If you are an ideologue, if you have a specific goal in mind that is related to fight for the civil rights, but I guess you are kind of manipulated into doing bad shit, why would you say that you will use your greed in order to do your villainy? It's so stupid. And then there is the Monkey King guy who has the kind of this unprompted ideological clash with Kaname, who at this point was kind of self-sacrifice and shit. So the Monkey King is like, ha, you see, your ideology is wrong because you see, I have a brother who is sick, and what would he think if he lives and I die? Even if others are going to die, I'm going to live. So I'm not gonna die for my brother. Mate, who is asking you to die?
Yeah, plus, why do you need to kill people in that ideology? Like, if you just live a normal life, or are they, like, giving you a ton of money? Is that the whole thing? Like, they will only pay me if I keep working and killing people, so I'll keep working, fuck you, got mine.
Again, we'll never know, because 17 chapters!
There's no explanation!
And even if his excuse doesn't work, how is it going to save your brother if you die? This is so daft.
Oh, he said, I'm going to live even if it means others die. So he's like, I'm going to live for this person important to me. I'm not going to sacrifice myself. Others can die. I don't care about them. Yeah, I would understand that part if there was any like logical connection to why that means he needs to be in this evil organization and kill people.
Yeah, in this context, it's not particularly well explained, is it?
It's not. Mostly, like, okay, that could also be a tagline for villains. In this context, we're not very well explained.
You see, I started this review kind of thinking Zipman is kind of mediocre, but it's okay, it's fine. But I'm slowly realizing I've come to hate this series more and more. But at the same time, I kind of can't hate it because it's still kind of entertaining and fails at so many places that I don't know. I guess I would consider it so bad it's good.
I kind of liked it at some point. Just the goofy tokusatsu Monster of the Week stuff where they have gimmicks and don't really make that much sense. That's kind of what I get from the like tokusatsu shows, Super Sentai and such. But just, they try to make it, they just don't do it well. They try to give them some ideology in the back of it that just does not work. Like, if they just said, like, we have this ideal, and everyone pointed out how fucking stupid it is, that might actually work. Make it self-aware that these guys are just so deluded. I want to be just this, therefore I murder! Like, yeah, everyone's motivation also, yet another tagline, therefore I murder! Yeah, if we're moving on to plotting, the little there is one thing that I would point out that might be detrimental to the series. And that's the fact that it kind of has the Bleach problem of main character doesn't really have, like, a driving goal. It is, yeah, to recover his brother, but they don't know who took him, where, how, anything. They're just kind of passive, just waiting for things to happen so that they can react to it and hoping that one of them is just solving their problem.
What are you talking about, Grail? Obviously the goal is to make Chainer smile.
Okay.
Any other thoughts, or shall we close things out?
I'll just say that I'm surprised I managed to talk this much about it, because when I came in here, I had like 5 minor talking points, and I thought, beyond that, it sure was a shonen.
Yeah, I did think this was going to be a minisode, but yeah. So,
guess we did at least manage to rant on the stupidity of villains.
Yeah.
We murder because.
Yeah, I think it's worth reading just for that, if anything. Alright, so, Grail, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at NuclearAndroid, and not really much else. I've been trying to get that one video done, but I just always lose motivation.
I was going to, like, review your script, like, 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, maybe I'll send it over now that, well, I don't think you have that much more time.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to that somewhere around May. All right then. So, what is also Zipman is the YouTube algorithm, a dark abyss of sorrows and woes from which videos like these never surface. To help me navigate it, you can subscribe if you haven't already, like the video, or share it on social media. If you'd like to help me upload these on a regular basis, consider supporting me on patreon.com/wednesdaydailycheddar. In return for your support, you get access to rewards such as an entire backlog of manga and anime reviews. At just the $1 tier, you can access our bonus mini podcast series where I draw shitty art and I watch through the entirety of the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime. At other tiers, you get access to our Cannon Bust of Logs or our Siren Tokyo Ghoul and Assassination Classroom manga threads. Yes. And also you get access to the credits. Alright then. So, you can also follow me on Twitter at WednesdayCheddar. Alright then. So, once again, cheers for watching and we will see you next time. Take care. Zip down!
That's a villain catchphrase.